Hello and welcome back to Life Lessons with me, Siobhan O'Hagan. First of all, I just need to say thank you all so much for your kind words and comments and messages and any way people have reached out since my first episode last week with my announcement. I am blown away with love, so I just can't thank you all enough, and I'm so sorry if I haven't got a chance to reply to everyone. I cannot believe the amount of people that reached out, and I'm just feeling really grateful. So thank you. This episode was actually recorded before Christmas, before all this, and in this first episode I bring on Grace Mannion, who is a female body composition and prep coach with her own business, Trained by Grace, but she's also an IFBB bikini athlete, which is a bodybuilding competitor. And I have been known to come out against bikini / bodybuilding competitions based purely off my own experience. And we go a lot into detail in this episode. But I wanted to bring on a guest that could challenge my opinions, but also give a rational discussion on a topic that is normally quite heated whenever I bring it up. And so I hope you enjoy it. Okay, so we have Grace. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me on, Siobhan.
You're more than welcome. Delighted. I'm really excited about this conversation. I was trying to think about when we first met. And I think obviously we were following each other online for a long time. Was it Bali where we met in real life, or was there any time before that?
I think it was actually the festival. I think I was following you on Instagram for years and we were at Body and Soul.
Oh my God, that was a flashback. I remember now. Yeah, you came up to me. I was like walking through and you were like, hi, I follow you on Instagram.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's mad.
Way back when I had a social life.
And this is what we're talking about, the way I value social life over everything else. So, I mean, this is why I wanted to have you on, because, you know, I've been following you for years. I've watched you learn, grow, compete, and I suppose, and show your little struggles as well, but all really honestly and rationally. And, you know, I always think, like, if I had someone like you that I was following when I competed, it would have been really helpful. Because I suppose a lot of people probably know I did a bodybuilding competition in 2017, because I don't shut up about it, because it was such a big turning point, I suppose, in my life. And I learned a lot myself about, relationship with food and everything, and it definitely put me off it. But I wanted to get you on to have a good chat about your experience, because you're one of the few athletes I follow, I would say, that doing it really well. So let's start with, tell me how you got into the sport of bodybuilding.
Yeah, so funnily enough, I was following you for a very long period of time. Social media was probably the first introduction that I had to competing. I've played sport my whole entire life. I come from a very sporting background. I played GAA growing up, basketball, any sport, you name it, I was playing it. And then I got injured in around 2018. I suffered with a concussion from playing football, and I was still going to the gym through that period of time through my boyfriend and just with university and stuff like that. And when I got injured, I kind of lost, that competitive nature and the sport element of it. So I kind of invested all of my energy and all the time that I was putting into my football and stuff like that, I literally just put in to the gym. So when I started to kind of get into it, I was like, oh, I was following a lot of people online. I was following you, a lot of more Irish competitors at the time. My boyfriend Ross had competed in 2018, and I suppose people had always been like, oh, you're going to compete. And I guess I said, I'll just give it a go. And that's probably not the way a lot of people should have looked at it. I just kind of wanted to give it a go. I wanted the challenge. I wanted to, I suppose, express that competitive nature in me and that kind of challenge, I suppose. I never knew, I suppose, what I was kind of getting into it when I decided to commit to competing. I just knew that I wanted to challenge my body. I looked up to these girls and I was like, I'm pretty sure that I can do that. I live, eat, breathe this lifestyle. You know, I go to the gym all the time. I've always ate healthy. I've always been quite active. So it was just kind of, I suppose, that next step up, really.
That's really interesting. And I'll probably keep cutting across you with my like, yeah, well, my, you know, yeah, because I'll be like, well, in my experience, but that's really what you said there about always being active and eating really healthy. That just struck me, because I find, I think maybe a risk factor for not doing it would be if you're actually someone who didn't have a good relationship with food. And I suppose that's really obvious when I say it out loud. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think that I always, I got into great shape, you know, whatever, around 2015, 2016. And, you know, people were saying that to me, would you not compete? and just thinking that I don't know if I had, I mean, definitely I didn't have a good relationship with food, but I never thought I ate healthy. I was always just trying to diet. And that just really stuck out with me there. And yeah, I was active, but it was always, I'm just trying to exercise to change my body. And that's probably where we really differ in our background. So that's really interesting. Yeah. Sorry, go on.
No. It is interesting to say. I think that's, there's different reasons why so many people get into it. And sometimes it is because they need to get in shape, or they need that push, and they use it as they latch on to competing as a way to eat healthier. And I suppose, don't get me wrong, I wasn't eating the way I am now. I had a good understanding of macronutrients, but I was always fueling myself appropriately. And that comes going back to, I suppose, playing football and stuff. Like, I was taught how to fuel myself appropriately for sessions, and even for the gym. It was always something I really, really valued. And I suppose with my family and stuff, we've always kind of ate for performance, I suppose. So yeah, that's kind of how I got into it. As I said, but there's so many other, as I said, with you, like, it is a case that you go from a place where you're not eating great, or maybe you're not really happy with your body, and you use competing to kind of create that love for yourself, or that healthy diet, I suppose.
Yeah, well, do you know what? It was actually, I was probably a step ahead of that, or not. Yeah, so I kind of was struggling for years, you know, like up and down weight, dieting, all these mad diets. And then I actually managed to I found myself in a healthy place, in like a healthy relationship with food. Like, you know, I learned about calories and macros, and I learned how to, you know, have everything in moderation. And, you know, so if it fits your macros was my hashtag on everything. But I got myself into a good place in 2015, and that's where I think I probably should have not taken the next step, because I think I just didn't know what else. I got to a point where I'm like, oh, I'm happy, which I never thought I would ever get to in the years preceding that. And I think that's where someone else maybe should have said, I don't know, like, I'm a very headstrong person. I don't think I would have listened to anyone. But I think, yeah, I needed a challenge. And I, probably like yourself, that you need to be feeling like you're working on something. And it's like I had completed the challenge of getting happy with my body. Like, I felt like I'd been doing that for years, and I'm like, oh, I did it. And I was like, what's next? And I suppose it's the environment I was in as well. Like, I worked in a bodybuilding gym, where, you know, all the people owning it and around me were competing. But I think I didn't have a great view of it, because the people around me, I suppose, weren't doing it very healthily. You know, there was apps like, I've seen girls, and I was asking them what they're eating, and it was, you know, 4 pieces of white fish. And I just couldn't understand why anyone would do it. But then, I met other people who were doing it healthily and traveling. And I was like, right, maybe it is possible to do it healthily. And yeah, I suppose that's where I got into it. And I said I'd keep going. And I think, and I see you get it as well now, there's a lot to be said for the rewarding moments of the process and the challenges and the sacrifices. What would you say about that?
Yeah, like, I suppose going back to the competitive nature in me, when it comes to competing, like, you're it's not like a team sport. Okay, yeah, bodybuilding, there's a community there as well, but it is very much kind of selfish, and everything you do is for you. You're getting up in the morning for you. You're doing your cardio for you. And there is that, you do get that sense of reward, because the work that you're putting in is directly, it's being reflected, you know? And sometimes if you're playing sports and something like that, it's not always, you might be putting in the work, but the person next to you isn't. So it is quite addictive in that sense, is that you know that the work you're putting in is going to equal a result. And when it comes to competing, it is just very extreme, that result. So it's not like, okay, I'm hitting my macros each day and you're noticing a little bit of a drop in scales. It's more extreme than that. You know, you're doing quite a lot of cardio, you're eating a certain amount of food, and you're noticing the changes rapidly over the few weeks. And it is, as I said, it is that kind of extreme, and it's that constant kind of hit of dopamine of, okay, I'm getting leaner, I'm seeing new lines that you've never seen before. It's not a normal lifestyle diet, so you're seeing your body the way you've never seen it before. And that is very rewarding. It's very addictive. You know, you're constantly getting that kind of dopamine hit as well. And I feel like that's why people fall in love with it so much, is because it is that kind of extreme. You do see the results.
Yeah, I think you have to be that kind of person as well. You know, like, I think I'm the same. Like, I see it now, even doing things like doing yoga every day. You know, because I see myself getting I don't know, like reaching a new position, I'm like, oh my God, it's paying off. So that you know, gives me the motivation to keep going the next day when I don't want to get out of bed and do it. So, and I think I do that in all things in life. And I think that's why I found the prep so enjoyable. Like I really didn't struggle that much. There was time, I remember days of being very hungry, but I was very disciplined. You know, I prepped everything to a T. You know, there were meals off plan or like higher calorie days. So I didn't ever really feel that restricted, but I think I was enjoying the process. Like I was enjoying the reward of seeing myself getting leaner, the payoff of all these sacrifices and sharing the journey online and kind of, you know, that message of going like, if you want something, work for it. And I read that the whole process, like, how do you find the, like, which would you prefer, the on season or off season? That's probably not the way to say it. I mean, like prep or what was the right term?
Off season, I suppose. Yeah. I don't really like calling it off season. I like to call it like improvement season.
Yeah.
Because off season just considers that you kind of just take the foot completely off the gas, and you do to an extent. Like I suppose if you asked me a couple of years ago, I would have said I much prefer prep. But I've gotten to this place now over the years and with experience that I do appreciate this phase a lot more, and I'm always itching to get back into to my improvement phase and focus on other facets of my life and get my performance back and my energy back. And it, unfortunately, that's not the same with every single competitor. Is they do tie themselves down to a prep, and they find it very, very hard to let go of that. And it's something that it's a quote that always, always stands to me. And any competitors that are listening to this, or anybody who kind of ties themselves down to the prep or the diet, is, do you love bodybuilding or do you just love body revealing? And it really stuck with me when a few years ago I'd struggled to kind of put on weight and stuff like that. I was like, no, actually, I got into this because I love bodybuilding. I didn't get into this because I love getting lean and I love revealing it. That was just a small element of it. Bodybuilding is where actually my passion lie, and it would kind of help me refocus and realign and realize that, and I need to get back to that Grace who was building muscle and enjoyed her training and was hitting PBs and stuff like that. Yeah. And not latch on to just the whole body revealing element, because it's, as I said, it's very, very easy with how exciting it is and how rewarding it is to latch on to that phase for so long.
And like I think people give the that part, sorry to cut across you, but I think people, you know, they obviously slate, probably myself, and like, you know, like this getting on stage, all that, I mean, it is fun, but you know, it's kind of like, this is where the argument is. It's like, that's not a sport, but what I say, it's, that's just revealing all the work that you've been putting in for the months, years before. You know, it's those days where you're and this, I remember having this argument, you know, it's like, you don't know those days where I was in the gym late, smashing deadlifts. Like, this is why I'm showing off my glutes, because it's the culmination of months and years of work. And I guess for someone like yourself, I love watching you off, well, anyway, so in your improvement season or anyway, like you're so strong. And I remember when you were in Bali, you did CrossFit once with me, and I was like, oh my God. I was like, what are you doing on stage? You should be, you know, performing. Obviously, you know, you've got, you're multi-talented. But have you ever considered trying any other sports or activities, or is bodybuilding, or is this it for you at the moment?
Do you know what? I would love to go back to playing sport, but I dealt with like years of trying to recover from that concussion. I told myself that I have a limit on my competing journey. I'm 25 now, and I said, I'm going to give it another year and then see what happens. And if what I can do can go further than that, if I compete next year and it doesn't go very far, or I see that my potential isn't there, I'm just going to call it a day and I'm going to find another avenue. And I was even saying to Ross, like I'm a very sporting person, you know, so mm-hmm. I want to be doing multiple things. Like I'd love to do something like the functional fitness, where you have an element of bodybuilding, you have an element of fitness, you do a bit of cycling, you do a bit of running. Because when I go back to the Grace that I know, you know, before she competed, that's who she was, you know, and I've just kind of, I suppose, found where I'm at right now at this point in life, and that's what I want to do. But in 1 or 2 years time, like, who knows where it'll take me when I want to have kids and stuff like that. So I do know that there is a time limit on competing, and a lot of the time it's just where it fits in that point in life, and where I'm at right now, that's what I want to do, where I'm living, who I'm surrounded by, and I'm really happy doing that. But as I said, I know that there's a limit on it, and probably the year after next I'll probably just call it a day. I'll get what I want out of the sport, I suppose. I don't know. I don't know if I would. I don't know if I do jujitsu because
especially if you're worried about fear. Yeah.
Oh my god, the fear of just getting whacked in the head again. Like, I'd love to do boxing because I just feel like the cardiovascular fitness is like next level. Yeah. But the fear of someone hitting me in the head, I'm like, yeah. No,
maybe you are following
no
me on this journey. Maybe in a year or two, you'll go and you'll start doing CrossFit and you start doing Muay Thai, and then you'll be like, why was I doing? Because that's what happened to me. You know, I was trying to get back into. I suppose after I did my first competition, you know, we'll talk about the struggle after. But you know, I struggled all that summer for about 6 months until I saw people doing CrossFit in Thailand, and I used to be walking around looking at them deadlifting 70 kilos. And I'm like, easy. And so yeah. Eventually I did a class and had to do 70 kilo deadlifts, but also had to like do burpees in between and do a lap. And I was shot. And I realized like my fitness was awful. You know, like I was literally anti-cardio. And you know, for a lot of the time I was, because I wanted to share the message to ladies that, you know, you can get in great shape by lifting weights. Because obviously, you know, the idea for women to lose weight was always around cardio. And so I then started doing CrossFit, got challenged in new ways, because then I realized I was so unfit, and I was like, right, well, I want to get better at that. And that's when I just took the shift then. I just realized, and I was like, well, actually, I don't want to compete again. Like, you know, if I found a new challenge where I get to actually, you know, I didn't have to be so strict with my food. And ironically, then I just ended up getting back in shape just from listening to my body a bit more.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's talk about the post-competition struggle, because this is really where I struggled, I suppose. You know, like I stepped off stage. I loved that feeling. I did really well. I really think I cruised in. I always say like peak week, I was on 2,000 calories. It was the last 2 days when I couldn't have like salt or flavors. Like that was a real struggle. But other than that, I had, you know, such a flexible diet going in. And so I really, really didn't think, like even a week or two before, like my coach was like, what do you want to have when you get off stage? And I was like, salt and vinegar Pringles and Nutella. So she's like, okay, have some of that today. And I was like, okay, like this is like two weeks out or something. For that reason, you know, like we're trying to remove restrictions so that I didn't binge. And I use that term lightly, but what I did do was binge. As in, I don't use that term lightly. Looking at the definition of binging now and what I've learned since, I definitely was like eating out of control. And I think it's a quite, you know, because I'm quite a numbers person, I would be literally putting peanut butter in my mouth and like crying, but still putting it in, like not being able to swallow it because it was hurting my neck, and I was still putting it in. And of course, then I was like, well, I'm just going to, this is it then. And then tomorrow I'll just get back on track. And, you know, my coach was like, we need to increase your calories. And I was like, no, I'm after having like 5,000 over the weekend. So let's just keep it as it is. And then, but of course, inevitably the next weekend, hungry again. And it's such a weird one because I knew on the way down, and you actually posted this yesterday, I think, or a couple of days ago, on the way down, I was really happy with my shape, you know. And even I remember going from size 10 to size 8. And I was like, oh, I don't really want to be a size 8. I was kind of happy in my 10. But then on the way back up, like after the show, when I was going back into my size 10s, I remember being so upset. And it was such a strange thing for me because it was like I was observing these thoughts. And I was able to see that I was being irrational, yet I wasn't able to kind of quieten them. And it was a really hard one for me to deal with online because of, I suppose, the praise I got on the way down and the amount of followers I gathered and, you know, the feeling of the achievement and tying my self-worth to that, you know, waking up every day being leaner, that I think I really struggled afterwards with, you know, obviously putting on weight. And again, my one half of my brain was like, yes, this is correct. Like, you look better now. And then the other half was like, no, you've no restriction. Who are you anymore? You were the person who was supposed to be disciplined. And it just got to a point where I actually then was putting on, I actually was getting to a point where I was, you know, my clothes weren't fitting at all. And what I was like, do you know what I need to do? I need to sign up to another competition, because I had gone on holidays all that summer and nothing was motivating me to stick to my calories. Now, there's a lot. I mean, I'm sure you're probably making lists there going, there's a lot I did wrong there. And it's, I think from watching you since, I think there are a lot better ways to do it. So I want you to tell me how you found, I suppose, the struggles and what you do to help.
Yeah, like I could talk and say all the things I do differently, but the reality is like everybody is the same post show, very, very similar. Like it's all so common, you know, to I suppose respond that way post show. And like I said in the post, like you're restricting for so long, and you're heading in a direction where all you value is that kind of, I suppose, lean body. And, you know, you're seeing the new lines and it's dopamine and all that kind of thing. But when you're heading in the other direction and you're moving away from that thing you valued, it feels like you're just going in the ultimately wrong direction from everything that you valued for what, 16 plus weeks. And you've ingrained in your brain that this is what's important. And I suppose, like when you have, like you said, when you have, you don't have that goal, it's very hard to kind of stick to the diet. And you get those feelings of, how could I stick to my diet 2 weeks ago? And now I can't. And you're just that completely different person. And you're dealing with all of these thoughts. And I still have them even today. I think, oh my God, I oversnacked the other day. Like, how am I doing that now? But the grace a couple of weeks ago couldn't. And where's that kind of control? So we all have it, you know. But when you lose that kind of goal, and I suppose you're not kind of handcuffed to anything, because on prep it's very, very easy to stay disciplined when you have that goal. But you come out of it and you don't have that goal, it's you free reign with all the food, you know. So like your response to food is very normal, because you're coming out of it, you don't have that goal, your hunger is high and you want to eat. And it is very common for most people to overeat or have episodes of binging. And like you, I use that term very, very lightly, because obviously it's classified as an eating disorder, binge eating disorder. Yeah. And coming out of a prep, and just want to say that I'm not obviously qualified in this area. I'm just going off experience, kind of what I know. But coming out of a show when you've been restricting for so long, it is very, very common to overeat, eat past the point of fullness, and have periods of time where you binge on food. Does that mean that you have an eating disorder? No. And you have to look at what is going on throughout that period of time to understand like why you're making those choices with food. Do you know? And as I said, your hunger hormones are completely out of whack. You've been depriving your body of food and nutrients for so long. You've been saying no to things, and you come out of it and all of a sudden the food is available there, and it's a normal response by your body to want to eat. All right. It's been deprived of food. So the response is, I need to eat. I need to put on this body weight to get myself back healthy. And for some people, it can be very, very high and it can be difficult to control. And for some people, it can be high, but they can kind of control it. So everybody is different in their response. For me personally, like, I have overeaten a good few times. I've never dealt with binging, should you say, where I had no control over what I was eating. And I have overeaten, and it is very, very common, you know, to have that, mm-hmm. Oh God, I cannot eat anymore, but you still eat it. Do you know, that kind of way, because you want the taste. But everybody responds in their own way, and some are a little bit more extreme than others. But what's really important to look at is you have to understand, as I said, going back to it, why it's happening. And a lot of the time people struggle so much is because they don't know why it's happening. They don't have the awareness there. They don't understand internally why it's like what's going on with their hormones or their the leptin and the ghrelin. They don't understand. And they might not also have a coach who understands or who is compassionate enough to give them the advice or to kind of take them through that phase successfully. Or maybe they're telling them those things like, you lack self-control, you do this, you're not disciplined enough, you know, cop on to yourself, all these kind of negative things, because maybe they're a little bit more disciplined than them or whatever it is. Or like you said, the calories are not, the calories are potentially too low and they need to be kind of bumped up, or they want to restrict going, you know, like they say, they see that 1-2 kilo jump on the scales, like what you said, and they immediately want to diet again. So they go back into restriction and the process repeats itself. Do you know? Because in their head, they think that 1 or 2 kilos is so much because they're moving, going back to what we said, in that other direction. Do you know? So I think you really need to understand what is going on through that period of time and have a coach that understands it as well and is able to support you and make you feel that, like, no, you're not going crazy. All of this is normal and it will subside in time. Do you know, your hunger hormones will level themselves out. You will get to a place where your body weight levels out because you need to gain weight. There's like 1 or 2 kilos that are just going to come from the water, the glycogen, all that kind of thing. And it is normal, but a lot of the time people don't have that education or awareness through that. What is essentially a really, really crucial time to get the right support. You know, it doesn't matter if you're the best coach during your prep, and like what you said, your coach is giving you Pringles when you're a week out, but it's ultimately those weeks post show that you need the most amount of support.
And do you know what I would say, you know, if anyone hasn't got any experience in bodybuilding or doesn't even know what we're talking about, they'd probably be like, why would you do it? You know, so you know, like thinking of all these risks and health factors, you know, obviously, I mean, I'd love to hear your opinion on it. So actually, I'll just give you, I'm going to give you my opinion first and see what you think, right?
Yeah.
I always say bodybuilding is like rugby, right? Where people go, that looks like fun. I'm just going to jump on and have a go. And they get messed up and they kick out and they're like, right, that's not a great sport. When realistically, they weren't in a right position to get on that pitch. And obviously I'm talking about myself, you know, like I jumped and I mean, to be honest, I really thought I was in a good position to compete. You know, like I had a lot of muscle, I was strong, I wasn't stressed, all that. But looking back, there was probably body image issues that I didn't realize at the time. I didn't realize after. I think having social media, like having such a big following, probably influenced me a bit as well. So what would you say about it, like, in terms of as a sport, who shouldn't compete?
So the biggest thing, I suppose, like you said, is looking at where you're at before you compete, like, and looking at your reasons. And if your body image is not in a good place, competing is not for you. Competing is all focused on the look, all right? And you pick yourself apart. And if you're not in a good place, your body to start off with, what makes you think that competing is going to make you in a better place with your body down the line? Because, okay, yeah, you might be getting leaner, like, oh, that's amazing, but that's only for a short period of time. It's not going to heal the body image in the long run. Yeah. I would say that the improvement phase actually has healed a lot of kind of maybe body image issues that I picked up along the way from competing. Because even though I went into it quite strong-minded with my body, like, dieting will impact your body image. It absolutely will, even if you've got a good kind of headspace going into it. But I suppose it's again, going back to that post-show phase and the gaining weight, that's where people struggle the most. And I've been quite strong-minded in that sense that over years, I've just been able to, I suppose, adapt to my off-season body, but not everybody can do that. And it can, I suppose, be a vicious cycle, or like I spoke about before, that they latch on to competing for years and years to come, and it can lead to issues down the line with their relationship with the food, with their relationship with body, that they might never be able to kind of escape from. So I suppose looking at the body image side of things as well, and the food is very, very similar. Do you know, like, don't expect that competing is going to heal your relationship with food, or a meal plan is going to heal your relationship with food. Do you know, it needs to be in a good spot beforehand. I feel like I could go on and on about the reasons why people should and shouldn't compete.
Yeah, I think the point, maybe it's changed now, but I think maybe back when Instagram first started, and obviously Instagram was quite visual. So people who were competing obviously shot to the top of feeds, you know, everyone, I think a lot of people were getting into fitness and stuff back then, or maybe just my echo chamber. I think some people then thought, oh, that's what I should do if I want to get in shape. And that's probably the last reason to do it.
Yeah. Even if you're tying into the social media element of it, like, if you're just looking at somebody because you see the glitz and the glam, and don't get me wrong, like, even when I started and I was looking at you, I was like, oh my God, look at her bikini, look at her hair, look at her makeup, it's amazing. Like, that's just a small fraction of it. And you need to be doing it more than just for social media. And sometimes people do it for the likes, for the comments and stuff that they get, and that interaction. Because let's be real, like, when you are leaner, and you know this yourself, Siobhan, like, when you're leaner, like, you do get more interaction on social media. So people can get very caught up in that as well.
Yeah, and that actually brings nicely onto, sorry, and that just reminded me that I saw you were taking on clients for photo shoots. And this is something I've always been like, why would you bother? You know, I think this will be a good one for you to answer, because I'm always like, would that not be a similar, I suppose, warning sign? Or, as you said, like, someone who just wants to do it to get in shape, like, would you not, is it carry equal risks, or what would be the benefits of this goal?
The photo shoots?
Yeah.
Firstly, like, I, when it comes to photo shoots, the biggest thing is when somebody comes to me, is I screen them and I ask them the reasons why they want to do it, etc. And also how lean they actually want to get. Not everybody wants to get close to competition stage lean, mm-hmm. but for some people they do. And it's a case that I can look at them just like I look at myself and say, right, are they the right person to do that? And I have had people where I take them on and I don't think that getting them super, super lean and having them diet to very close to bikini competitors right for them. And we take a far more sustainable approach to it. And they're happy enough to do that. Not everybody needs to be super, super lean for a photo shoot, but the people that do want to do that need to know the risks, I suppose, that are involved. And I'll always try and educate, just like I do on Instagram about competing, always try and educate that if you do want to go very, very lean with your photo shoot, this is what it will entail. This is how low calories might have to go, how high cardio might have to go. And you will deal with, you know, the repercussions after that. But I'm here to support you with that. And I always try and educate them. And that's why I talk about so much about the post-prep period, is because ultimately that's going to be what should be, the deciding factor in why people do it. Because, okay, it's great having this goal to work towards, but how are you going to feel after? Do you know? And how are you going to approach things after? And how are you prepared to deal with that? Do you know? And it is getting better online. I feel like more people, do you know what, Siobhan? I feel like back when you competed, there wasn't much talk about it. And like you said yourself, like you were afraid to talk about it because it was a sign that maybe you were weak.
When I did talk about it, what shocked me so much was how many of the girls that I had followed and, you know, looked up to replied and was like, thank you so much for sharing this. Like, I've been so embarrassed. I didn't want to show my body online for months. And I was kind of like, why didn't you tell me? You know, like I was like, I wish someone had shared this. You know, I didn't know there was such a risk because no one was talking. Well, I felt like no one was talking about it. You know, the girls that were competing in my class or like, you know, any class, but that I had followed and was like, oh, if they can do it, I can do it. And they were struggling a lot. And, you know, some people were, some people weren't, but that's what kind of spurred me on to keep talking about it. And because I knew there was like people like yourself who were in a good position to compete and, you know, had good coaching and knew what they were doing. But I then felt like I owed it to my followers to be really realistic. And like, I got so much backlash from competitors, from people that I would consider friends as well. And I kind of get that because that just reminded me. I remember when I first started, I mean, I think I was like the January when I started prep. And I remember there was a thing on telly, like a program Vogue Williams was presenting about bodybuilding. And I remember I can't remember exactly. I remember it slated it and it was all about, you know, I basically just said everyone doing bodybuilding is on drugs. And I remember being raging because I was like, I'm trying to make it look like you can do it healthily. And I remember being like, right, that's it. I'm unfollowing her. I probably angry tweeted her as well. I can't remember. But I just know I was so tied up, like my identity was tied up in it then. So I didn't want to know any other way of seeing it, or like I was offended when people offended the sport. So like when I was getting, I suppose, all these mean comments and people telling me I was just a weak person and all this because I didn't handle it, I was like, yeah, you're right. You know, I just know that there are a lot of other people with, you know, say not great relationships with food or their body, and they're looking, thinking that's the next move. And also that's why I'm so kind of passionate about sharing. I just want, like what you said about when people want to do photo shoots, is that I want people to make informed decisions. And like having good coaches like yourself, where they, you know, they assess it, the goals, if it's realistic, laying it out for them, what it will entail. And I think, and that brings us on to, you know, the not so great coaches out there that are, so they're just selling transformations to anyone who will take it. And I think the sad thing is that the people who think they need the transformations are probably people who need to be told not to do it, or to be advised, or maybe just given more information. Have you found that you're getting people come to you from other coaches that haven't been so thorough with their screening?
Yeah, like even if somebody came to me on a consult a couple of weeks ago wanting to compete, and I just said, have you ever done like a big diet before, or have you taken it close to stage? Like, you can't just jump, in my opinion, like I did and a lot of others do it, but I have come to realize that you can't push somebody into stage straight away, and you do need to maybe take them on a diet where they get close to stage, or a photo shoot prep, and assess, okay, how can they handle it? Are they prepared to go to those lengths? And even working with someone afterwards, like how mentally are they going to be after? And I have a lot of girls that I'm working with post show or post photo shoots now who I know for a fact, I've been working with them for a year and a half, 2 years. I know that they are suitable for competing. Yeah. You know, and I wouldn't, if I work with someone, I think, okay, no, this is, you know, the issues that they're, or the struggles they're having are lasting too long, or it'll be heightened by competing. It's not going to be for them. But a lot of them I know from working with them for so long that they could actually, yes, they could compete, and they've managed this post photoshoot prep really, really well. And I think that they could step on stage, and they're the right candidate for it. But not everybody, I would say, can do that, you know? And I think, go back to what you said, is that kind of screening process. And as a coach, working with that person for long enough to know if they're the right person for it. Like, if somebody just comes to me and I've haven't even worked with them yet, I don't know how they think, how they train, how they feel about food, like, I can't just say, yeah, let's compete,
yeah,
you know, unless they have competing experience before, yeah, and they can tell me that, you know. But yeah, I need to know more about the person. I need to be working with them for a longer period of time and do a photo shoot prep with them first or something similar.
Yeah. And this is exactly why I wanted to get you on, because we have, I mean, I think, you know, everyone thinks everything is polarized, you know, it's black or white, and it's not. I think, you know, giving exposure to someone like you, who is, I would consider, a coach that I respect and who's doing it ethically. You know, I've seen so many coaches over the years who just put no regard on women's health at all, because obviously there is going to be, I suppose, health sacrifices. You know, there will be, you are playing around, you're going into an extreme state, your hormones will be messed up for some period of time, and I think a good coach will try and limit that, you know, limit the risks, or the, I suppose, the dangers. That's probably a bit extreme, but you know what I mean. And I think what I've seen over the years is, I don't know if, I think in my experience, it has been all men who just give, here's the food you eat, and if you don't eat it, you are a bad person and you don't want it bad enough. And there's just no, there's no regard for women's health and women and mental health as well, because I've seen women who were so determined, and they actually do stick to these crazy restrictive diets, and then but then they're messed up physically and mentally. And yeah, it's a hard,
it is, and a lot of that does kind of go back, I suppose, to the old school body building mentality. And you know, it is right to say that men can handle a bodybuilding prep differently to me or you, a bikini girl. Do you know, we are gonna handle it very, very differently. And these potential, you know, old school bodybuilding coaches place the same kind of practices that they would do on their next bodybuilding pro. Do you know, the fish and the this and the high cardio, and they expect them to have that same mindset. And some competitors do, and this is amazing, but a lot of, especially kind of maybe bikini girls, do not have that same mentality that, you know, a 20-year experienced bodybuilder might have. Do you know, that's just stepping into the world competing. And a lot of the time they do have different reasons why they're doing it. And a lot of the time these coaches place those same practices, and they almost put, like you said, that veil where it's like, you just don't want it bad enough. And they don't look at the actual person that's in front of them. And like, something I've come to realize is, yes, and this is through my partner, Ross, as he's amazing at what he does and how he coaches bikini girls. And it's about, okay, yes, what we do is robotic in nature, you know, and we are very regimented and stuff like that. But we are humans at the end of the day, do you know, and there needs to still be an element of compassion involved, do you know, and listening and hearing the struggles, and not just kind of blowing over the head and saying, okay, just shut up and get on with it. Do you know, that's, I think that's what a lot of people think it should be, but it doesn't have to be that way. You can still be a great athlete and still get amazing results and still do amazing on stage with having a coach that's more compassionate. Do you know, you don't have to be, I think a lot of people do want that kind of coach that just tells them what to do, but not tells them what to do, but like, I suppose, really strict with them. But there is an element of compassion that needs to be involved. And I think you were coached by Larry as well, weren't you?
Yeah. That was actually, I went to him when I decided I was going to do another competition. When I was struggling for motivation with my previous coach, I was like, do you know what? Maybe I just need, you know, I was like, I'm not listening to her. So like, I need, I know, I was like, maybe Larry will like scare me into being disciplined. But I got a lot out of being coach with Larry. And I remember even messaging him when I was in Thailand, and I was like, do you think I can actually just do my prep out here? And then after a week or two later, I think he knew it was coming. I was like, I actually don't think I'm going to compete. And he was like, okay. You know, and he was very supportive of that. But I think, I mean, I even get people coming to me, you know, who want like a tough coach. And I can see why you'd want it, especially if you struggle with discipline. But I do think in the long run, you need to be intrinsically motivated. You know, only, you know, tracking food or only eating within whatever range because someone else is checking for you probably isn't going to lead to long-term results. So I think you have to, you know, drill down on why you, I mean, I think you, I'm just thinking like my coaches are very nice, but to the point where sometimes they're like, I just need someone to tell me what to do. I'm like, I know.
There's a
like,
fine balance.
Yeah.
There is a fine balance. And I've always stand by, like, I don't want a coach to tell me that you need to eat this. I've never been on a meal plan in my life. I never want a coach to, somebody asked me the other day, does Cal, my current coach, create rules? Do you have to eat chicken? I said, no. I said, I'm able to make those decisions for myself. I know what I need to fuel my body with. I don't need somebody to tell me to do this. Do you know? I don't need somebody to tell me I have to train at this time. I have to train at this time. And I want to be able to be a little bit more independent while still getting the same results as somebody who has a more stricter coach, because it can be done. You can be a little bit about my current coach, Cal, is very much like that. And when I moved from Larry to Cal, I said, I wanted a coach like that. I don't want somebody that's going to tell me what to do or have zero compassion or not look at me as a person, if you know what I'm going with that.
Actually, I'm really curious to want to know, and it comes back from me deciding that, you know, like when I was in Thailand, I didn't want to try. I realized that there is more to life. Like that was my opinion. I was like, okay, hold on. I could just actually travel and not be stressing about what I'm eating. I can go partying. I can, you know, I was like, wow, this all this freedom I got. And I think I just was always comparing that to my life at home when I was being really strict and everything was planned to a T. And I think that's the message I was sharing. I was like, oh my God, life's too short to like, why would you want to be so restrictive with food and your life and everything? But you know what? I think I've even come a little bit full circle. And I think there is, beauty in the struggle. And I kind of get that now, even so I've been a little bit stricter at myself in my training and my routine here in London. I kind of get, it kind of just reminds me of what I was doing back when I was in Dublin a couple of years ago. And I'm like, okay, I can kind of see that if you have, I suppose, routine and a regular job, life, home, that having that kind of challenge, even if it might not even be competing, but even just, you know, sticking to a diet and having a strict training plan, that can actually be really rewarding in itself. So I think I kind of like take back that I was like, why would you, you know, just do all that, you know? So
I think there's elements of bodybuilding that everybody needs to have kind of in their life, and that structure in the routine, and even go back to the meal plan. Like even like my lifestyle clients are like, okay, I actually could really, really do with a meal plan Monday to Friday. But all of this information online is like, no, meal plans are bad. But actually, no, they actually might really work for Mary Jane the Road, who's 40 and has kids. Do you know?
Yeah, I always say a meal plan. My problem is with meal plans is that the majority of them are being given by people who are not actually considering the client. You know, like it's different if me or you sat down and actually, you know, worked out the macros of the client, worked out the food that she likes. You know, but the majority of these being sold online are just not. I mean, if they were, they're probably quite expensive, and that's fair. You know, like the time and effort to make a meal plan that would actually be suitable is just, I feel like it's not what's being given online, if you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's very, I know that's making a general statement, but that's, I think when you hear meal plans are bad, I'm like, no, yeah, well, if they're not flexible and if they're not created for you and your goals, then that's the issue.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I think having a combination of the two really is, and like I said, dipping into elements of bodybuilding, but also dipping into elements of more kind of lifestyle and all that kind of thing can be a benefit to us all. You know?
Yeah, I'm just thinking, how do you handle your social life then? Do you kind of just be like, next couple of weeks, I'm not doing anything? Or would you tend to go out and like not drink and be prepped? Or how do you handle your social life? And I suppose it's probably a good thing that your partner is in the same, you know, kind of situation as you, because obviously you've got that company and stuff. But how do you handle your social life?
I would say I'm a lot less into the drinking than I used to be. When I got into competing, that definitely kind of removed a lot of it for me. And then when COVID happened, again, that kind of shut it down, and I placed even a bigger focus on fitness and stuff like that. But I feel personally for me that I do have a good balance. Like when I'm finished my shows, I'll go out for a meal every weekend, just like you would, you know. Yeah. If I want to have a drink, I will. Not a big fan of drinking. I feel like the Irish culture, like, it knocked it out of me at a very, very young age.
Yeah.
A lot of people are not the same. A lot of people are the same though. Like they maybe they didn't drink that much when they were younger, and they're playing catch up now. They're paying that kind of social debt back. But I definitely got it out of my system when I was a young age. And even when I met you at the festival, I feel like I've done it now, and I enjoy living a healthier lifestyle. I enjoy waking up on a Sunday and get my cardio done, but I'm also not adverse to, I'm also looking for tickets for the warehouse project for 3 weeks time. You know, so I know myself, like if I want to go out, I will, but I also enjoy it so much more because it's not that often.
Yeah. And you know, I took that approach myself in October, I think because I had a heavy September. I was like, you know, I'm sober October. That's it. You know, like being extremist. I'm like, I'm not going to drink. But then I actually changed it to, you know what, I'm not going to just, because I kind of got to the point where I was like, everything in moderation. And I was having like one or two, but quite frequently, rather than like, I don't really go out that much anymore. Like I don't, you know, I'm just getting older, I guess. But in October, I said, only have it if you really want it. And I went back to just tracking calories, which also just makes you more mindful in your decisions. So like, you know, I was going for dinner and I might have a glass of the red wine because I really like the red wine with my family, whatever, but I might not, then I'll just stop. I suppose reducing it just reminded me how much more productive I am. And I think for me, alcohol wasn't really getting in the way of my life. And that's where, you know, like I say, I drink on a Saturday and then I'm really, really like productive and training hard and performing well all week. But I think I just wanted to like test out what it would be like without it. And of course, I'm like raging. I've been like so productive, started all these new things. I'm like, oh, right, fine. They're right. And so, yeah, I think not cutting it all together, but giving yourself, as you said, that freedom going, if I want to have a drink, I will. But oh, you'll only have it if you actually want it, and not because you're feeling peer pressured into it or just because it's Friday or anything like that. And I think that's a really healthy way to be with it. And like I'm goals.
I agree. But that productivity is huge. And a lot of the time that's why people kind of come off the drink. And even with my clients as well, like they realize how productive they can be and how much better they actually feel getting up and going on a hike rather than kind of laying in bed, you know. And slowly you get more into that.
Yeah, like to have goals is important. I think that's why I wasn't really, like, you know, work was going well, training was going well. So I was like, oh, I need something to work. And like even things like launching the podcast. So then I was like, oh, I'm going to do that at the weekend. And then I wasn't bored and going drinking. So yeah, I think having something to work towards just, you know, might stop you drinking out of boredom.
Yeah, that's what prep with me. Like I'm probably never as productive as I am in those kind of first couple of months on prep, because I don't have any distractions. Do you know, I don't have to go out at the weekend and I'm doing all of these things, do you know?
So I don't want to keep you much longer. I know you competed. Well, how many weeks ago was it your last competition?
3.5, but it feels like a lifetime ago.
I can imagine. And so how are you feeling about that? And what's the plan going forward?
I'm feeling good. As I said, like I have my days, I have my moments where some are a little bit harder than others, but it's my fourth post-prep period, and it gets easier over time. You know, you kind of train yourself into thinking a certain way, just like you and you're reading, and you build that kind of awareness over time. So it is a lot easier this year, thankfully, but I do have my days. But I am going to be taking a good period of time off. The goal is to obviously gain weight, get my health back, get my hormones back, live my life a little bit, you know, enjoy Christmas, go out with my friends and just enjoy all of the things that I suppose I missed out on. That's really important to me. I think a lot of people neglect that in their improvement phase or their off-season phase, but I need to get back to that grace that enjoys social and meeting people and enjoying food. I'm a massive foodie, like I have to say. Manchester is such a good spot if you've never been.
Such a good vibe. I know.
And the food, honestly, the temptations. And I live right in the city centre, so I'm just like, I have all of these places on my list and I'm like, I need to tick them off.
Oh, I'll come up and help you. But yeah, no, that was a really interesting conversation. Thank you so much. I think people will find it really interesting to see your side, because I suppose people might follow me for, you know, they never followed me in my bodybuilding days and then they probably don't know anything about it. So I think you've given a really good insight into it.
I hope I don't like paint a bad picture. I think I want to get across that, okay, it might not be for everyone, but there is people out there that can do it.
Yeah, you
know?
No, if anything,
going back to that screening and knowing why
Yeah. Yeah. If anything, I think people might actually want to sign up. So obviously all your details will be in the, you know, if it sounds like it's for you, or if this is the kind of challenge you want and you're aware of all the risks, like Grace will speak to you and screen you. And
it's about risk
sure.
awareness, I think, is the biggest thing. Risk exactly. awareness and picking your poison, I suppose, when it comes to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Well, thank you so much, Grace. That was amazing. So there you go. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you found that interesting. I will have some varied guests on coming in the future. So please do hit that follow or subscribe button wherever you listen. And I'd love to hear your feedback. And perhaps you have a suggestion of a guest you'd like me to interview or a topic you'd like me to cover myself. But I'll leave it there. So once again, thanks again for listening to Life Lessons with me, Siobhan O'Hagan.